Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you and we thank you for this day that you have given to us, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that your spirit would come, Lord, and that you would just empty me of myself, Lord, and that I would just speak your words, that your Holy Spirit would just come and fill this place, Lord, that you would open the hearts of each one of these girls, Lord, that you would do a working here and that you would just be glorified in everything said. Lord, I just pray that you would give clarity and understanding. Lord, and we just thank you that you are in this place with us here and now. And I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Well, there was something going on. There was a lot of people, and everybody was kind of in an uproar, and people were upset, and that there was confusion. I was trying to see what was going on, and finally I saw, yes, it was that man, it was Jesus. And the high priest and the elders, they were accusing him. But I don't understand. This Jesus, he was someone who did good. He fed thousands of people with just a couple loaves of bread and a few fish. He raised people who were dead. He healed the blind. Why were they accusing him of these things? He has done nothing wrong. Well, now they're beating him and they're mocking him and they're spitting in his face. Are you one of the crowd? Now they're taking him to Pilate. What would Pilate do? He's not a criminal. He's done nothing wrong. Well, Pilate, he now says, he's asking questions. Well, I can see them. Yes, he's asking now all the Jews what he's to do with this man who they call Jesus the Christ. But the high priest and the elders, they're stirring up the people. Everybody's crying out, crucify him. And at this time, it was the custom for them to release one prisoner. Surely they would release Jesus. He's done nothing wrong. But no. When Pilate calls out, what should he do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They yell out, crucify him! Crucify him! But he's done nothing wrong. What will you do with Jesus? Will you call out, crucify? Well, they called out, crucify. And so Pilate washed his hands and he was going to be crucified. They took him. They beat him. They spit upon his face. They took his clothes off and they put a scarlet robe upon him. They twisted a crown of thorns and they placed it upon his head. The blood dripping down. His back scourged with the stripes. They mocked him. The guards, they knelt down and they made fun of him. Why would they do such a thing to someone like this Jesus who only came to save them? Then they led him out through the streets where everybody could see. They took the robe off him and put his clothes back on, and he was bloody and beaten. You could barely recognize who he was. They laid the cross upon his back as he walked up the road. Bloody and beaten, they spit upon him and they mocked him. He got to the place called Calvary, where they took him and they laid the cross and they nailed him to it. Yes, one, you could hear how they hammered the nails through his hands. And two, and then his feet. And then they raised him, and there he was crucified. There his blood dripped down, and he died. They placed above his head the accusation, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." But yet, as Jesus walked past, he calls out, "Follow me." If you could all open your Bibles up to Matthew 16. Verse 24. In 1 Peter 2:21 it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." In Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to deny yourself? What does it mean to take up your cross and follow? The word deny, to deny oneself, to disown, and to renounce self, to disregard personal interests and enjoyments. As I was studying and looking up this, I had a young man help me study, and I asked him what he thought it meant to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Christ. And he thought for a second, and he said, "I think it means to deny our fleshly appetites and do what Christ wants us to do." And I thought that was really good. He was only 12, so just your age. But I thought that was very profound. To deny oneself and your fleshly appetites, what our flesh desires to do. But in this verse, we find we are to deny that. We are to disown, to renounce, to disregard our personal interests and enjoyments. And then it says to take up our cross. Take up there means to place on oneself, to take up and bear, to carry. And in Matthew 11:29, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," just like it says, take up your cross, "take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What is there when it says the cross? What does that mean? What is our cross that we are to carry? To take up one's cross, meaning to undergo suffering, trial, to expose oneself to reproach and death. This is what Christ did for each one of you. He put himself in the position to suffer, go through trials. He put himself in the place of affliction and reproach by the people he came to save. He came to save each one of you. Are you in the crowd who's calling out, "Crucify him"? Now, who would want this? Who would want to take up a cross that means suffering and reproach? Nobody wants to go through suffering and reproach. But when we look deeper into who God is and who Jesus Christ is, we'll see that it's a joyous thing, and it's a freeing thing to take up our cross and to follow Christ. See, taking up our cross and following Christ means freedom. It means joy. It means peace. It means happiness. If we understand that God is the God who created the universe, and like we've been learning, he's the potter. He's forming and he's fashioning each and every one of us. And he formed and he fashioned us even in our mother's womb. If this is the God who places the stars in the sky, who knows every hair that's on your head, who can name the stars, he knows the sand on the seashore, this is the God who cares so much about you, and he's calling out to each and every one of you to follow me. When he calls out to follow him, he's saying, "I will set you free." Right now, if you're sitting here and you know in your heart that you are not following the Lord and that he is not the one that you are following after, he's still calling and he's saying that he will set you free from the bonds and the chains that Satan has you in right now. The things that you desire that Satan is putting in there, they will only bring bondage. They will only bring chains of death. But Jesus Christ is calling out, "Follow me." See, because he sees the end. He sees the path that you're on right now. He sees the destruction that will come if you continue down the path that you are on. And because he is a good God who cares so deeply about each and every one of you, he says to you, "Come, follow me." The first time that the Lord put it on my heart about this follow, I was listening to a Bible study, and the guy was talking about following Christ. And something that he said really struck me, and I had never thought of it that way before, and I thought it was really interesting. And he talked about how God cared so much for us that when he called out to follow him, it was, to me, one of the most loving and caring things that Christ ever did for us besides the actual death on the cross. Because to follow him means putting our life in the hands of a God who cares, in the hands of a God who will never leave us nor forsake us, and who loves us more than anybody on this earth could ever love us. And when we make the decision to follow him, we're stepping in to a protection that goes far beyond anything we could get on this earth. We're stepping in to a path that will bring the joy that we long for deep in our hearts. So why would we not want to come and follow Christ? In Matthew 11:29, where we read, it says that if you take the yoke, if you come, that his burden is easy and that we will find rest for our souls. He will give us the rest. Isn't that what we all long for? This life is busy with the things of this world, with relationships that come and go, and more relationships that come and go, and jobs, and all these cares of this world. And it feels like we're just running and running, and we just can't get away. But we find in Scripture that if we come to Jesus Christ, we will find rest for our souls. He could have left us to ourselves. He could have left us miserable, without joy, without hope, without love, without protection. But he didn't. He sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross, to shed his blood, and to save us from our sin. So what does it mean to follow? Follow means there to be in the same way with, to accompany, to be a disciple, to follow his teaching. It says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Are you following Christ? Are you one of his disciples? To follow means to be a disciple. And we know in Scripture it talks a lot about being a disciple and what that looks like. Let's look at some places in Scripture where it talks about following. And as Jesus calls out to different people to follow him. Can you think of any areas right now where Jesus would have said, follow me? Or to anybody, who would he say that to? Who did he say that to? Okay. Some of his disciples, right? In John 21:19, he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God, and this was to Peter. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. In Luke, Mark, some of these are in both the Gospels. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. In Matthew 4:19, he said, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Mark 2:14, where he sees the tax collector and calls him, it also says in the Mark version that, so he arose and followed. So he obeyed the calling that Jesus called him with. We must follow. When Jesus calls, we must follow. If I can have some of you guys look up some of these passages of Scripture, that would be great. Philippians 3. Verses 12 through 14. Someone want to read that for us? 3.
What verse?
12 through 14.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forth unto those things which are before. 14:2.
Yes.
I press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. He presses forward that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God is calling out to each and every one of us to follow him. And as we do that, we should be living lives that resemble the same attributes that Jesus Christ set before us. He lived a life that we can look at and we can be like, and we can know that we are doing the right thing. When we look to the people around us, kind of like Grace said today, that's not the right standard for us to live up to. But when we are following in the path of Christ, we know in that there is safety. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And probably in your guys' version, it would say, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always follows what is good, both for yourselves and for all. What are some ways that we can look at our lives and know that we are following in the pathway of Jesus Christ? And as I was thinking about that one, it was convicting, because the one that came to my mind was the way we forgive. See, we all know that Jesus forgives us, and we are to forgive those who trespass against us. Well, as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a disciple, we are to forgive like Jesus Christ forgives. And to me, that's challenging. If someone could look up John 13:35. Okay, go ahead.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and if ye have love one to another.
Very good. If we have love one for another, it's by this that people will be able to look and see that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have love for one another. That doesn't sound super challenging, you know, be nice to everybody, right? But that's not necessarily what it's saying. And it's going a little deeper than that. It's saying, when your sister is being super irritating, it means love her. By this, people will know that you are a disciple. It's when people, maybe a friend, says something that's not true about you. It's choosing to forgive and to love. It's in the situations that are the most difficult to show love. It's in those situations, when you do love, they will see that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, it says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue or follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." When it says flee these things and pursue or follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, does it remind you of any other passage of Scripture? What? Right. Those are several of the fruits of the Spirit. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ, following Him, we should be bearing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, of things like love, patience, godliness, faith, and the list goes on. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Christ is calling out to each and every one of you to follow him, to come. And to me, that's not a burdensome thing. It's not a drudgery. It's letting go of myself, my desires, denying myself, and taking up the cross and following Christ. And it's a joy and it's a comfort to my soul that I can not be bound by the wicked things of this world, but that I can be set free in the righteousness of Christ. And when I look at the cross, I can see that there he took my burden of myself away. And when I give up my right to be queen of my life and in charge of my life, and give that over to him, he's the one who is going to treasure it more than anything in the entire world. And he's not going to harm you. He's not going to manipulate your life, but he's going to have control. And then we can know that even the trials and the sufferings that come into our life are for our good, for our benefit, because it's making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And to walk with Jesus Christ is liberty. It's freedom to do what is right. Right now, some of you are sitting here and you're in bondage to sin. And to walk with Christ is to have liberty. And to me, liberty is the freedom that comes with Christ to walk in righteousness, to obey the truth. In Romans, it talks about who we are in Christ. And that we should not be a slave to the things of this world. It says in Romans 6:12, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And then in it says in verse 16, Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Which one are you following? Which one are you slave to? Jesus is calling out to you, come, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Will you obey the calling? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that we can trust you, that you will take care of us. Lord, that when we give you full control of our lives, there is no fear, but your perfect love casts out fear. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that we can trust your promises. We can trust your love for us, because your love will never fail. Lord, I just pray that you would give greater understanding to each one of us of what it means to come to you, to deny ourselves, and to take up our cross and follow you. Lord, I just pray if there's any girl in here right now who knows in their heart that you are speaking to them, who knows that there are things in their life that they're holding on to you. There are things that they need to deny. Lord, I just pray that you would give them the strength to let those things go. Lord, I pray for those of us in here who follow you and our followers, that you would help us to follow closely with you. Lord Jesus, we know that as Jesus walked in the crowds and he spoke to people, that it was only the ones who followed close to him that could really hear what he was saying. Lord, I pray that you would help us to each follow closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in my life, that I would be a follower that is walking in your path. Lord, that you would make each one of us your disciple, that we would follow your teachings, that we would read your word, that we would meditate upon it and hide it in our hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would be with the rest of today and tomorrow, that you would be with each one of these girls. Lord, I thank you for this time that you have given to us. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.